What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, esteemed colleagues. My name is Daryl.
Hey, and this is Jennifer.
And today we have a very special guest. We have the Director of Global Professional Affairs at Johnson & Johnson Vision Care, Dr. Christina Schneider. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're super excited to have a representative here from Johnson & Johnson because you've had a really big year. Dr. Schneider, tell us a little bit about the exciting new product you guys brought to market, the first monthly contact lens.
Yeah, so I think as everyone knows, this is a new space for us, but we do spend a lot of time and research understanding the needs of our patients. So in the process of doing this research, and we use that to both develop new products and also to help professionals with both conversations and lens selections, we looked at our history. And we obviously have been focused on product innovation in the daily disposable and two-weekly space. But we finally realized that there was a growing segment of patients out there who needed a monthly lens. And even though we still believe that shorter is better, we realized that because there were these patients whose needs were not being met by our products, we really need to look at the monthly space. So their desire to have a lens that they can wear for a full month with minimal lens awareness was the impetus behind us really moving into this space. You know, if you look at our product portfolio, we have not been in the monthly space, but we did learn in some of this research that these monthly patients have a decline in comfort throughout the month, and there's a significant number of them that do. When we looked at the data that we had collected, we saw that, surprisingly, there were over two-thirds of the patients that we surveyed wearing monthly lenses that were having some kind of a comfort-related issue. Those people they're surviving, they're doing something about it, but 84% of them told us that they were actually having to do something to compensate for that discomfort, using rewetting drops, taking breaks, or sometimes people would take their lens out, clean it, and reinsert it. And they're pretty frustrated by this, too. 82% of them said that if they experience comfort-related issues, they are frustrated, annoyed, or inconvenient. So obviously not a great patient experience. And for me as a practitioner, the most surprising and really alarming statistic was that 73% of these people didn't plan to tell their doctors because they either think the issues were normal or they were afraid we'd take them out of lenses. So these silent sufferers, as we call them, make it difficult for us as practitioners to have visibility to this fairly high number of patients who are dissatisfied with monthly lenses that have been out on the market. So Acuvue Vita brand contact lenses with Hydromax technology is our new entry, and it was designed to address the needs of these patients to provide them that reliable, superior comfort all month long. So that's kind of the history of how we got to monthly.
So can you tell us more about how the lens is designed and what makes it better for those silent sufferers that you guys did the research on?
Right. So again, you know, you mentioned the silent sufferers. So these are people who, for whatever reason, are having problems, and the problems tend to increase through the month. So we went back to the literature and we looked at, you know, what is everyone saying is probably part of that or contributing to that decline in comfort. And what you see very consistently is that it's something to do with change in lens hydration. So this was the insight that made us look at Hydromax technology and develop this new non-coated silicone hydrogel formulation. And we wanted to make sure that it was balanced to help both maximize and maintain hydration throughout the lens because, you know, now it has to last for the entire month. So our new material is called Cenefocon C. And we knew that it's needed to be different than anything we had developed before because, again, we're you know, at least doubling and possibly going 30 times longer than what we've done before. So our chemists, and you know, they've had now 15 years of practice making our highly successful line of silicone hydrogel lenses, but they had to go back to work on this new formulation with this idea of maximizing and maintaining hydration. So what they ended up doing is changing the balance of silicones in our formulation. We have two different types. So they slightly increase the hydrophilic type and slightly reduce the more hydrophobic type. And what that did is it resulted in our ability to incorporate the maximum amount of our wetting agent, which is a pure long-chain PVP, or polyvinyl pyrrolidone, into the material. We were able to incorporate about 30% more while still maintaining the physical properties and clinical performance that we wanted. So this was the beginning of the process about maximizing hydration. So then we wanted to look at, okay, we've got it in there. How do we keep it in for the month? So we looked at PVP as the ingredient. And I know all the chemists know this, but to those of us who are optometrists, you know, we're not I don't remember my chemistry that well, but PVP actually has both water-loving and lipid-loving parts, just like our natural pure film. So in addition to maximizing the hydration, which we did by changing the silicon balance, we looked at PVP and we realized that it actually helps to homogeneously integrate lipids throughout the lens. And so this is really one of the things that gives AccuVita unique properties. It enables us to integrate an optimal amount of lipids and distribute them throughout the lens. And this helps us maintain a very low deposition profile. So these integrated lipids are able to continue to perform their natural beneficial functions, and that's to help reduce evaporation. And they work with the PVP in the lens to help maintain hydration all month long. This is great on paper, and it sounds like a wonderful theory, but we really wanted to measure whether we're actually impacting hydration and evaporation. So our scientists went and really refined a method that was out in the literature called pervaporation, or the measure of fluid movement through materials. And they came up with this really eye-inspired method where it actually resembles what happens in the eye. So they have a fluid chamber behind the lens, and then they have air with different humidities and eye temperature in front of the lens. And so we can actually measure the rate of fluid movement through different types of lenses. So we measured AccuVita, Air Optics Aqua, Biofinity, and Ultra. And we didn't just do this out of the package. We actually took lenses that patients had been wearing for 30 days, and we measured those. So this is really the properties of a lens after 30 days of daily wear. And what we found is that the evaporation rate through the AccuVita lenses was 33% lower than the evaporation rate of the next closest lens. So that really closed the loop on, you know, more hydration relative to our previous products. We know that we're able to maintain it for the entire month. And we also found that our lipid integration was present and different from other lenses. And we believe this is what contributes to our unique performance.
So when a doctor looks and says, oh, AccuVita Oasis, that's Cinefilcon. And AccuVita, that's Cinefilcon. Two really different materials, though, still, because of the changes that you made to PVP and silicone.
Correct. And it's surprising to me that fairly small tweaks in chemistry can create large differences in performance. And, you know, there are both the FDA and it's called USAN, the U.S. Adopted Name Council, both look at the ingredients and the properties of these lenses, and they decide whether they're the same or different. So the USAN came up with, they said it's not the same as Cinefilcon A, so our new name is Cinefilcon C. The FDA required that we go ahead and do new clinical submissions. So it is completely a new lens material with a new indication for us.
And what about the edge profile? Anything change in regards to your other lenses?
No. So that's one of the things that is part of our AccuVue portfolio. A couple things we do to every lens we make is we have what we call our infinity edge. So it's part of our manufacturing process where we have a lens, an edge that tapers down into almost nothing. So that really helps with the ability of the lens to glide, or sorry, the lid to glide smoothly over the lens. And then we also include UV blocking in all of our lenses so that we have a class one UV blocking in this lens. And of course, we don't ever recommend that contact lenses are the only way of protection. So, you know, adding sunglasses and a hat is appropriate, but we really feel that that first important layer of always on protection is another thing in addition to our infinity edge that we provide in every AccuVue lens.
So what's been the initial reception? I mean, do you have any numbers on how the lens is performing so far?
So the reception in the marketplace has been very much to our expectations. And, you know, it's interesting because there are a lot of lenses on the market. And as you mentioned, Dr. Lowerly, at the beginning of the podcast, we've introduced quite a few in the last couple of years. But AccuVita has had tremendous response from professionals and also from the patients who wear it in the field. You know, one thing we have heard is this story around lipids has been interesting because, you know, when I was in school, lipids were always bad. They meant deposits. And so we've tried very hard to make sure that the professionals understand how AccuVita is different and how it's actually integrating these lipids throughout the lens. And that's what helps maintain a low deposition profile. So, you know, going through this explanation of believing that the integration protects them from the environment, allows them to stay in natural state, and that this is in contrast to what would happen if the lipids were actually allowed to deposit on the surface of a lens. In our clinical results, not only did we have really outstanding and very superior comfort and superior vision throughout the month, we also found that only 1.1% of AcuVue Beta lenses developed clinically significant levels of deposits. So those have been some of the things that, you know, questions have come up from practitioners. But the response to the performance has been pretty much on track with what we expect. And we think we really are offering a better option to patients who are out there looking for that monthly lens that gets them to the end with that reliable, superior comfort.
So I had the luxury of being at Johnson & Johnson Vision Care this past year when the first discussion of Vita was really coming out. It was right before the lens launched, so doctors were kind of hearing about it for the first time. And there was a few practitioners within the group that had some initial negative response. And why do you think some doctors have been a little slow to accept AcuVue entering the monthly marketplace?
That's a very good question. And I have kind of a couple of answers. One of them is, you know, our portfolio is developed around this eye-inspired technology. And that's both looking at patients' lifestyle, their ocular physiology, you know, their personality, and marrying that to different technologies that we make in our products. And so the first thing is that, you know, AcuVue Vita is not a lens for 100% of your patients. We think it's a very viable option for those who you really believe belong in the monthly space. And, you know, in my mind, clinically, that probably means someone who really has pretty, and I'll say young, but, you know, healthy eyes. They don't really have any major problems. So the first thing is make sure that you pick the right patient, because no one lens is right for everyone. And then I think the second thing is, because we have been in the daily disposable and 2-week space, the shorter is better space for so long. And, you know, there have been some doctors who've really stuck with it, so tried and true. You know, they think, oh, you know, you guys are selling out. Yeah, I can assure you we are not, that we really did look at the market. And we realized that in the last probably close to 10 years, the monthly market has grown. And looking at the data, the lenses that were out there were not meeting those patient needs. So while there's still absolutely a place for a 2-week lens and clearly places for daily disposable lens, we think that there is at least a segment of practice in everyone's practice that are these patients who, for whatever reason, it could be value, it could be that they think daily disposable is a waste or more frequent replacement is a waste. We felt we needed a monthly lens. And I think most of them, once, especially after they try the lens, they're kind of coming around to the fact that, yeah, that was a gap in our portfolio, and that the lens we brought to market has really stood up to the AcuVue brand standard.
So Daryl, I don't know about you, but I feel like it makes a lot of sense. When Ultra first came out, I felt like it was trying to be the AcuVue lens of a monthly lens. And you could kind of see, well, there is a marketplace for an AcuVue style design in a monthly portfolio. So it made sense for you guys to go ahead and fill that. And to be honest, it's so easy now, where it used to be, I have an AcuVue wear that says I wear AcuVue in a monthly lens. I used to have to have this conversation like, oh, you don't have a monthly lens, and we have to talk about wearing time. Now I can just say, okay, great, I have it here. And it becomes a non-issue.
Exactly.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, when I'm practicing, every patient that comes in for some reason believes that they're wearing a monthly lens when it's actually a biweekly product. So when you guys released that lens, it just made life a lot easier. A question that I have for you is, where did the whole AcuVue lens become a monthly lens? Like, where did that start? I mean, how did that even come about? Do you guys have any research or data on that? Or
yeah, so, well, I can tell you there have been discussions internally for easily the last 10 years. But I think that the two pieces of data were, one, the market trends. So the monthly market, I think really starting with the economic downturn in the mid to late 2000, sort of 2008, nine, it really took off. Probably a lot of economic concerns in that space. So we did see a growing marketplace, again, that we didn't at least officially participate in, to your point. Some people were wearing Oasis for a month. But the second, I think the more compelling reason was this research we did on the consumers and really seeing the huge percentage of them that are not happy with the monthly lenses that are out there. And honestly, I think if you ask people, you know, are the monthly lenses we have good? They'd say, sure, they are. But you think about it, as practitioners, we see people usually after a week or so. We don't see them in that third and fourth week. And, you know, we're all busy and we've got a lot of things, and sometimes contact lenses aren't top of mind for, you know, every single practitioner in the country every single day. We probably just aren't asking the right questions and not giving the patient chance to raise their hand. So this research showing that, you know, that there were 73% of them who are having these issues, that 84% of them are doing something that we probably don't even know about to get through their month. That was really the most compelling thing that made us say, AccuView can do this and we can probably do it better than anybody else. And so let's do it.
And can we expect a toric and a multifocal option in this lens?
Very good question. We are absolutely working on it because that's another thing we've learned is that family is very important. And, you know, I'm in the presbyopia space now, so I'm always very excited about presbyopia future. So stay tuned. We are working on both options.
So Okay. Speaking of multifocal, I do want to take a chance to talk about the AccuView One Day multifocal lens because it seems like it's been a very successful entry into the marketplace. What kind of feedback have you been getting from patients and from doctors fitting the lens?
Well, I heard from both of you before we started that you have both been to the Vision Care Institute programs, you know, at different times. First experience I had with it was we were actually still in our pre-launch, and I was giving the courses on the multifocal in the Vision Care Institute. And these patients, and they were mostly women, not all women, they were like begging for the lens. And some of them were wearing, you know, monthly lenses. And they're like, we would pay any amount of money to have this lens. And so the reaction was they would put it on and they would usually pick up their cell phone and just totally be wowed because, you know, the near and intermediate vision was excellent. And the transition from near to far was really easy. And for us as practitioners, it's a really simple lens to fit. So the advice I have with people, I think the most important thing is do not over minus your patients. And the best thing you can do is look at the ad. If your ad seems unusually high for their age, and I always think of, you know, 40 should roughly be in the low ad, 50 should be in a mid, and 60 should be in the high combination. If you really do a good refraction and an age appropriate ad, patients will be thrilled. And you will be thrilled. I'm wearing it. I went from almost 40 years of an RGB wearer to switch to this lens because I am so excited about the performance. So, it's the number one fit daily disposable hydrogel multifocal in the U.S. now. So that's probably testament.
So switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about older technology. What is going on with the AccuView 2 lens? Is that lens going to stay on the market or are you guys going to do away with it at some point in time?
Our current plans are to keep it on the market. And I will tell you that well, a couple things. Edifilcon material, it has been around from even before Johnson & Johnson, came AccuView. It was a lens that was marketed by Marco and as Vistamark and Hydramark or Vistamark actually back in the day. So It's the lens that the FDA actually uses as the standard when looking at adverse events. So that material has stood the test of time. Our designs have stood the test of time. And there's still a lot of wearers in the U.S. and around the world who just will not give up their AccuView 2. So we strongly believe and actually have data to say that there is absolutely room for both a hydrogel and a silicone hydrogel line. Clearly our development is going to be more focused in the silicone hydrogel space. AccuView 2 for the foreseeable future is still, you know, one of our flagship brands. And even though we don't spend a lot of time talking about it, still a very successful brand.
So I had an interesting conversation with someone. It was brought to my attention that AccuView 2 has an extended wear designation in Tyler's Quarterly. Is that lens approved for overnight wear? I know it might have been a long time ago, but
it absolutely is. And in fact, what I mentioned about the FDA, if you go and look at all the extended wear studies, and you can look them all up on there on the FDA website, AccuView 2 is the comparator lens for almost every study out there for extended wear. It has remarkable, the Edifilcon material really is a very, very compatible with solutions. It attracts protein, but it keeps it in its natural state. So it has very low adverse events. And so, you know, the only I will say gap, I don't believe it's a gap, but some people think, you know, well, higher oxygen is better. But honestly, the silicone hydrogel lenses have brought us a lot of benefits, but hydrogel lenses have been around for, you know, 30 plus years now. Have a very, very strong safety profile in terms of inflammatory events. And if you look at the research, AccuView 2 actually has the best performance on an extended wear basis for inflammatory events. You know, will you get a little bit of limbal redness because of the oxygen? Yes, but that's really almost the only thing you would ever see with wearing AccuView 2 on extended wear. So all of our Edifilcon materials have the extended wear approval We obviously market our daily disposables with daily disposable labeling, which means don't sleep in them. Yeah, AccuTube's been standard, really, for years.
Wow, I had no idea about that. I mean,
you know, it took me by surprise when I heard that, because, you know, when we are learning now, like, the amount of oxygen that would be required for overnight, obviously AccuTube wouldn't meet it. So, yeah, it was like, I questioned the person at the time, but it's nice to hear it is true. Though I'll be the first one to say, in my practice, I would advise a patient against it.
Yeah. You know, I think sleeping in extended wear, sleeping in lenses, any kind of lens, always, always, always increases your risk. Are the people Most who definitely. Need to do it? Yes. And, you know, we have Acuvue Oasis packaged for a 6-night overnight indication, because we know there are some people who need to do that. Again, looking at the research, if you put it in, the best thing is not to touch it. And so we believe that our weekly packaging is actually a great way for people to do it, because they can just touch it once, throw it out once a week and keep going. We package it as a 54 pack. So it's, you know, the pantry effect. If they've got lenses, they'll probably use them. So you don't have overwear issues because they've run out of lenses. But yeah, I always recommend that patients stay away from extended wear, but you know there are some who are going to do it, and honestly I would rather have them do it under my care than maybe someone else. And so I struggle with them, but in the end there are a few patients that I have put in extended wear because that was their patient need.
And with your family of products, what's your go-to when it comes to solutions? Do you have one that works better with AccuVue products?
You know, we don't. We have tested, we actually did a really huge study a few years ago looking at what I'll call the third generation material. You know, they were kind of new solutions, and peroxide, which was clear care at the time. And those, we really saw no performance differences between any of those lenses. And we tested our Senofilcon material, our Galifilcon material, and our Etafilcon material, so silicon hydrogel and hydrogel. What I do want to warn people, though, is even though, you know, we do the testing to make sure ours is compatible, solutions are very complicated chemistry. Silicon hydrogels are very complicated chemistry. And just a small change in a solution can really change performance, especially with the silicon hydrogels. Another thing about Etafilcon, it's quite robust with solutions. So, you know, for example, the peroxide systems, one company has incorporated a wetting agent in it. I have seen reports where that wetting agent, or that whatever that change is, there have been issues with people who were going along happily using the original peroxide system. When they switch to this new system, now they're having problems with a number of different types of lenses. So my advice is never take solutions for granted. And that's the first thing to look when something changes. Make sure the patient is using what you've prescribed. I recommend prescribing a brand name and have the patient take a picture of it with their cell phone, so they, when they get to the wall of solutions at the pharmacy, they can actually pick that again, because small changes can make big differences. And, you know, honestly, the solution is the easiest thing to change. So rather than, you know, throwing the lens out, consider looking at the solutions. And patient compliance is always going to be an effort forever, because we're all human. So check with them every time if they're using, you know, can they name the solution? Can they tell you what color bottle it is? Probably not. You know, snapping a photo of what they're using with a cell phone is a great way for you to actually confirm that they're doing what you asked them to do.
So switching gears just a little bit, Johnson & Johnson has been really vocal this past year in advocacy for optometry. Can you talk to us a little bit about the biggest legal fights you guys currently in over our profession?
Yeah, and thank you for asking, because we're really proud of the advocacy work we're doing. You know, there are a number of groups, a number of different manufacturers, the AOA. So there are a lot of people who are advocating at the legislative level. But our most important goal, and it's the Johnson & Johnson credo issue, is to protect patient health and safety. And you know, our customers are doctors. So preserving that doctor-patient relationship for this important medical device is really important to us. We have been supporting the Contact Lens Consumer Health Protection Act legislation. If you want the details, it's 2777 in the Senate and 6157 in the House. But those two bills aim to close the gap by modernizing the contact lens prescription verification process. And, you know, we've all been through various iterations of that. And our goal there, or the goal of these bills, is to ensure that no matter where patients choose to fill their prescriptions, that they will be dispensed exactly as written. And, you know, what I think a lot of people don't know, and this has been some Herculean efforts by lots of members of the J&J team, is that there are laws like this coming up state by state. And many of these laws are aimed at extending the length of a prescription expiration date or providing a contact lens prescription renewal that doesn't require a comprehensive eye exam. And, you know, these are very concerning to us. So as these proposals are introduced, we're fortunate enough to have the support from the government affairs team at Johnson & Johnson, the big Johnson & Johnson, to help us educate our lawmakers, both state and federal, about the importance of maintaining professional oversight to protect patient health and safety when they're wearing contact lenses. So we've developed a library of resources for lawmakers, but also for eye care professionals, so that they can understand the current laws and regulation and this ever-changing landscape, as well as the potential consequences if these laws are not upheld. And the materials are available on a website, and it's called jnjvisioncareinfo.com, and it's J, N as in Nancy, visioncareinfo.com, all one word. And that's where you can go and you can find lots of materials that are written to give some visibility to what's going on, both at a federal level and at these in these many states where we have legislation pending.
I'm glad that we're touching on this. I'm curious to pick your brain about the Simply Contacts app that recently was released. What are your thoughts and where do you see that type of technology going?
You know, that's a very interesting question. And we, you know, we look at all these things because we want to be informed. And, you know, I think one of the confusions are for legislators and for the public is people equate their, you know, their prescription, the number, with an eye exam. And as we all know, there's so much more to an eye exam than just coming up with the number that's on the box. And so, you know, many of these apps can get you, they can come up with a number, they can tell whether you can see or not. Although I'm a bit of a research geek, and when I go back in the literature, hyperopia and astigmatism are really tough to correct by acuity measures, which is a lot of these are acuity based. You know, I'm not sure most of these apps are all that effective at getting great prescriptions for anyone other than your garden variety myope. And then the most important thing is that the technology is not there to assure patient health. And I was reading on ODs on Facebook the other day about somebody who found a golf ball sized tumor in a young child. You know, we know that optometrists are the number one people who pick up diabetic retinopathy before primary care physicians. You know, we can see hypertension, we can see lots of vascular and neurological disorders by looking in the back of the eye. So that's our biggest concern at Johnson & Johnson. It's my biggest concern as a professional, and I'm all for technology, but I just feel like there's a commercial or a mercenary drive behind some of these efforts and not a drive to keep patients safe, healthy, and seeing for life.
I know that this would be difficult, and I'm not asking you guys to commit to anything, but I would really love for any contact lens manufacturer to make some sort of like public statement coming out against the safety hazards, or even banding together as a group and saying, we won't support our contact lenses being filled this way. I feel like optometrists right now, and you being one, you know what it's like, we're on an island where it looks like we're the bad guys just wanting to hoard and keep our patients, and we just care about us, and that's all this is about. But if more groups are joining with us in the product manufacturer line that weren't necessarily just optometrists, it would help. What we really care about is patient safety, because we're on the other side of it and we see how much can go wrong.
Exactly. And, you know, that's exactly why we're in this, you know, it's a coalition. So it's not just us. The major manufacturers have all stepped up in different ways. I think, you know, Johnson & Johnson, I feel like, is leading the way in terms of, you know, informing people. This website, the jnjvisioncareinfo.com, is really a collection. And I think we're unique in doing that. But there are multiple manufacturers. There are state associations, the AOA, you know, there are a lot of people, but, you know, to your point, we are trying to be as vocal as we can. We're focusing our efforts on legislative, you know, efforts, but you're right. I think all of us need to step up and be a lot more vocal about our value as a professional. And I think if you go to this website, you'll actually find some resources. If you have a Facebook page, or if you tweet or have other online presences, or even, you know, newsletters to your patients, there's some very good information on that site that can help you educate your consumers in your physical area and your patients directly. If you want to help very directly as a professional, and consumers can actually do this as well, if you go to that website, there are actually some links, and it's an automatic click that you put in your state and where you live, and it'll take you automatically to your local representatives and senators. There's two different opportunities to submit. So I've done for my state. If you click on those, it's really simple. The letter goes to your senators and representatives. It tells them what your position is. And there are 40,000 optometrists in the U.S. If even a small percentage of them made their voice heard at a legislative level, that can make a huge impact with lawmakers. But we need to do it on all fronts. We need to educate our patients, our communities, our schools, our legislators, and, you know, banding together and standing up, which is what this coalition is really trying to do, and why Johnson & Johnson is in it. You know, literally all the way up to our parent, Johnson & Johnson Company.
I just want to say thank you guys so much for that website. It is so easy, by the way, sending a letter to your legislator. Literally less than 5 minutes, and you can send it off. And so really great design.
Now, this might be reaching a little bit, but is there any way that potentially all the contact lens manufacturers can just put on their boxes, do not buy from an app, or do not take a prescription from an app, go to your local optometrist or something like that? I think we could solve the problem that way when people see that.
Yeah, you know, without going into great deal on regulatory, the government regulates what we can put on packages. So, you know, they're not as easy as they sound, but I can tell you for sure, and I think I can probably speak for many manufacturers, we are all looking for ways to make sure that contact lenses are provided safely, and that more than just the prescription is considered, that it's after ocular health. So I'm sure that I can speak for the industry. It's not in our best interest for contact lenses to be, you know, to be considered a commodity. They're lost reason. So yes, I think you can be assured that every contact lens company is in this fight to some level, and we are looking at, you know, in a legal and compliant way, of figuring out how to get that message out more broadly. That is one of the, you know, we have a lot of reach in terms of talking to consumers.
Now, one of your business strategies I noticed was access and affordability. Speaking of the consumer, if you could tell us a little bit more about that in regards to what you have going on to make life a little easier for the patients cost-wise.
You know, it's every, we realize that, you know, contact lenses are a prescription medical device. And so you want the patients to be cared for. We don't want the cost of the lenses to be an undue burden. So we have all kinds of programs, you know, rebates and programs for both professionals and consumers to make sure that our products are available at an affordable price and at appropriate medical locations. So we, you know, every month, we're actually looking at who are our customers, how do our customers get it, and how can we best make it easy for the professional prescribing and the consumer. And it's a lot of work, frankly, but we are very proud of our contact lenses, and we're very proud of the revolutionary changes that the Acuvue brand has led in the last 30 years. And you can count on us to continue to keep looking after both the patients and the professionals. It's the number one thing in our credo. First paragraph in our credo says that our first responsibility is to, you know, the patients who use our products and the doctors and nurses who prescribe them, you know, and that goes across all of J&J. So it's in our DNA to continue to work for those, that access, accessibility, and affordability.
Speaking of the future, are there anything forthcoming in the pipeline that you can share with us today?
So, you know, we are continuing to develop, to fill out our family. So if you look at our products, and any lens that doesn't have the family, meaning spherical, toric, and multifocal, you know, you can expect us to continue working on that. So I think that's probably the closest I can come to developing our future product pipeline.
At one point, and feel free to tell me, no, this isn't happening, I kind of heard a little bit of a talk about a sports tint lens. Is that anything that's being talked about still, or not really?
So a friend, actually, he used to be one of my bosses, said, you know, anything that we don't have, we're working on. I can tell you we evaluate technology all the time. And back in the Nike sports site, we did evaluate that lens. And it's a matter of looking at, first of all, you know, can we manufacture it using our model? And we're looking at new models as well, because we're a very high volume manufacturer. So that's part of it. And then what's really driving our product development now is looking at patient needs. So when we see a need, and the need is significant and real, we go after products. So we look at everything to do with vision. You've probably heard we've acquired AMO. So our vision care will actually be expanding into some other areas. So I think you'll see a lot of new products and a continued commitment to serving the needs of our patients and also our professional prescribers. I hope that's not considered a non-answer.
Oh, no, that's good. We understand. talked about some really successful lenses. I want to talk a little bit about AcuView Define. Why do you feel like it maybe hasn't transitioned quite as well from Asian market to American market? And are there any plans to rebrand or readdress?
That's a great question, too. I actually love AcuView Define, you know, the Western variants. I think it adds a really subtle and, you know, sparkle, and that's one of our names. But I think one of the issues is it's in practice, again, most people don't do contact lenses full time, which is, you know, my entire life. We really need to start looking at the office process, because Define was a different, it had a subtle effect, which meant that you needed to make sure that the patient understood what the effect was going to be. There was a different process in the office. If you look out west and at some of the areas where you have a very high Asian population, I think you'll find that Define is alive and well in some of those practices. It's certainly a mammoth success in Asia. But I think right now, I think we need to go back to the drawing board and really look carefully at both, again, these patient needs. Are we really delivering the product that meets their needs? And I think more importantly for us as professionals, are we giving you guys the tools and the time to move into these spaces that are kind of new for us? So we launched Define, and very shortly after that, we launched One Day AcuView Moist Multifocal. And, you know, both of those things are, you know, different processes in the office. And so it was a lot for doctors to absorb. So don't count us out on the enhancement, the beauty enhancement. It's still one of our four need states. We need to make sure we do the whole process correct. I love the lens myself. I wear it. I'm presbyopic, so we don't have a presbyopic lens, but I really love the subtle but natural effect. It really does define your eyes. So I think it's a great product name. It didn't take off like we hoped it would in the U.S. Western eye market.
But yeah, I mean, it's exciting to have so much new stuff coming out every year. I've been impressed with the number of new options. And even when a lens isn't as successful, it's still really exciting to have that option and see what happens. And there have been a lot of really great successful lenses. So we're looking forward to seeing what's next.
Yes. Well, again, we've been busy, that's for sure. Said, you know, stop, there's too many new lenses, but I don't think that's possible. I think new news always creates an opportunity for us to better connect with our patients and, you know, talk to people who either considered earlier and didn't go, or maybe stopped wearing lenses for a reason. So new news is always a great way to re-engage with our patients.
So where do you see the contact lens industry in 5 to 10 years from now?
I can't imagine that it's not going to be very healthy. I think we need to be diligent in these legislative efforts to make sure that it stays, you know, safe, and that there is still investment in the future, because, you know, these new innovations cost money. I can tell you in our pipeline, there's some extremely exciting things that are coming in the, you know, that 3 to 5 year range that will completely revolutionize how we see contact lenses. You know, I'm almost a 10 diopter myope, and I will never be without contact lenses. And I think there are people, you know, people wear them for different reasons, but it literally changes people's lives. So with your help, you know, getting the news out about new products and you know, like you asking some of the hard questions, I think the industry is healthy. I think we all can do a better job of offering this opportunity to people who don't wear contact lenses, whether it's full-time or part-time. But I think you're going to see some very exciting new products. I think you're going to see a lot of investment and frankly, some innovation both in product and process as we move forward.
Thank you again so much for coming on. We really enjoyed having you as a guest, and just to Johnson & Johnson in general, a big thanks to all that you're fighting for us in our profession right now.
Well, thank you both for your time and for allowing us to be here. I appreciate it and look forward to hearing more of your podcast.
Thank you. Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.